Morning, everyone. Are you glad you're here today? I'm very thankful to be here. As Brother Rod and some of you know, I've been trying to get down here and couldn't get here for two meetings. I about thought I wasn't going to get here for this meeting. But the Lord spoke to me and told me what He wanted me to do, so I followed that and I flew in. Now, I want to start a little bit different. Some may not know who I am. I'm Carl Schaefer. I'm from Meeker, Oklahoma. And on the 16th day of September, the three of us was in an awful accident. We could have all been killed, but I went to sleep. Well, I don't know what happened to me. I totally went out. I was driving on an interstate going to Kansas City, Missouri, and I just went out. Wife was looking in the mirror on the visor, and she wasn't paying no attention to me, so she didn't realize at first what was happening, but the car started moving to the right. She looked up, and she saw the very end of the guardrail that we were fixing to hit, doing about 75 miles an hour. She said the car just moved to the right. We started shooting down by that guardrail on the left, and the big pillars that hold overpasses up, we was headed right to them. Again, she said the car moved to the right. We come shooting out from that underpass doing 75 miles an hour because I had the cruise on. And all of a sudden, we started flipping end over end. Now, the reason I'm telling this is because there has been some things that got out that weren't just quite right. And so I'm telling you the rest of the story. And we landed on the top of the car. And I woke up. Come to, whatever. I looked around. I saw it hanging in our seatbelt, so I quickly tried to figure out. So I got mine figured out, reached over and got Molly's figured out, and then Paige back there, she got out by herself somehow, and I've never figured that one out. And she was over behind her mama. She tried to get out of the car. Three men showed up, looked in started talking to us, said, "We're here to help you all. What do you want us to do?" And Molly quickly said, "Get my special needs child out." They did. They got her out, and then they got me out. I appreciate the mercy of the Lord. We could have easily been killed that day. But the Lord has spared our life one more time. Now then, some have asked how we're doing. I'm pretty well back to normal except for my strength. I'm not totally back to my strength. And I'm getting older, and I ain't what I used to be, folks. Just bottom line, I'm not what I used to be. But Molly is the one that got hurt the worst. This shoulder and arm was all across in through here. She was hurt pretty bad. Nothing to keep us in a hospital for anything. We did have to go to the hospital for a little bit. And they took some CT scans and x-rays, whatever they done. And I was talking to her again this morning, and she said she worked pretty hard yesterday, cleaning the house and doing different things. And I said, "Well, how's your arm feeling?" She says, "Doing pretty good, Carl." Well, she's wanting to go south to Florida. I said, "You think, now imagine this, she doesn't want me to drive." I mean, absolutely, she does not want me to touch a wheel basically on any long run. And the problem of it is, I got a daughter about this tall, and she's in full agreement with her mother-in-law, or her stepmom. And so I said, "Well, do you think you can drive to Florida?" She said, "Well, I think so." I said, "All right." I said, "If not, well, I've got points enough, I think, to get some airline tickets." So now you know the rest of the story. She's gaining, and she's the last one. Paige was hardly hurt, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord protecting that girl. I was hurt second worst. Molly was hurt the worst, but we're pretty well back to normal. I am, anyway, and I'm here. Molly and I had talked about driving down, just driving, and she's just come to the conclusion. She said, "I can't do it." I said, "All right." So I went to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, if you're going to get me down to Laranja, you're going to have to do some healing." And he spoke to me real plain, I felt like, and he said, "You can fly, can't you?" I hadn't even thought about flying down here, and I've done that several times, as some of you know. Now, I've got a burden on my heart. I've had two messages. I've been, which way to go, Lord? And I feel like he's finally pinpointed the one he wants me to preach this morning. And I need your prayers. I ain't the hoss I used to be. But the Lord has had mercy. Let's open in Job, the 19th chapter, please. Start reading the 17th verse. I want to talk about touches this morning. How many of you have ever been touched by God? How many times have you been touched by God? If you want something special, let him touch you. Let him bless you. Let him talk to you. This morning, folks, we need God. We need God badly. If we don't have God, we don't have anything. We need Jesus Christ, the righteous. If you're going to go to heaven this morning, there's one way to get there, and that's him. And these touches, been having them for 50-something years now, and they're just special. Even after all these years, they say, well, you get a little tired of it, don't know, huh? Like that night or that afternoon, whenever it was, he spoke to me real, "You can fly, can't you?" That was special. This special that you can fly, Carl. All right. So here am I. All right, let's go to Job, the 17th chapter here. Or 19th chapter, excuse me. 19th chapter and the 17th verse. "My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. And my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Now, Job's in trouble here. Bottom line, he feels like the Lord has touched him. He has, with affliction. There's several of us in here, maybe a number, that's been touched with the hand of affliction. It's not easy. Some is light, some is serious, and we're praying for some right now that needing the touches of God to heal that. But he said, "Have mercy, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O my friend, for the hand of God hath touched me." Now then, touches, how many of you like to be touched? We've been touched basically all of our life. I read an article many, many years ago on this subject, and it said in there that a person really won't survive without being touched. A marriage will fall apart without the touches. Parents and children will have problems, so to speak, if there's not any touches. So there's got to be touches for you and I to really survive and grow well. But this one right here is the one we must ultimately have. We've got to have the touches of God. He wants to touch you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do everything he can do for you. Are we letting him do that? That is the problem this morning. There is people that God is working and trying to help and touch and deal and work. But guess what? They're rejecting that and they're pushing it back. And any time, say a husband walked up to wife and maybe wanted to give her a hug and she shoved him off. Don't you think that wouldn't be no fun? Or a child want to climb in mom or daddy's lap and they pushed them off. Or maybe, I mean, it gets down to the animals, folks. Animals like touches. You believe that? Well, they want it. They'll flat climb in your lap. They'll just walk up next to you. They'll do something to let you know, "I want you to touch me." This morning, we need touches. We need the touches of God's love, mercy, pity, compassion, and every other thing. And he's going, "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, for the hand of God hath touched me." All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 10 and 25. 1 Samuel 10 and 25. When's the last time that you was touched by the hand of God? Then Samuel told the people the matter of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it upon before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his own house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Now it said, here's whose hearts God had touched. Why do we come to these meetings? Why do we do what we do? It's to have the Lord's touches. We want the Lord to touch us. Listen, folks, this morning, there is people right here, maybe, that is having the Lord trying to touch their heart, trying to soften and trying to work with that heart like it's only He can do. Are we letting Him do that? That's my burden this morning, folks. Are we allowing God to do what He wants to do? He loves you. He died for you. I get to thinking about the love of God and get to thinking what He paid for my soul. And it melts me down, the fact that He gave His life. And He told me in a vision one time, "I died for you, child. He gave everything for me. He done it so I could be saved and washed and on my way to heaven." Whose hearts God had touched. This morning, Lord, help us. That if God is trying to work with you, don't push Him off. Don't shut Him down. Don't tell Him no. Listen, folks, you may never come back to this chapel tonight. You may never turn again. You could be killed going home. You could be killed around here somewhere. There is many, many people that have left their home and never got back alive. That could have been me that day. Are we allowing the Lord's touches of love to touch us? To touch us. We need the touches and we need to respond to the touches. When people get to shoving away the touches of God, there's where the disasters start. There's many, many people that shoved Him back and come to a place, I've read in books, that they got down maybe on their deathbed and horrible things they started doing because they are rejected and rejected and rejected God. And finally, He had rejected them. And they were laying there facing eternity. They were laying there fixing to go out and meet Him face to face. What do you think? You've rejected Him and rejected Him and rejected Him. And then you step in front of Him. What do you think that would be like? It'd be a place of horror, folks. It'd be a place of horror if we have rejected Him all those years and now then we've died and we've stepped out into eternity and we're meeting Him face to face and we're looking at Him, the one that we rejected, the one that died for us, the one that loved us, and here we keep rejecting Him and now then we're right facing Him face to face. That would not be a pretty place to be in. That'd be a place of horror. And there are thousands upon thousands and millions a people have had that happen down through the years. That's why it talks about heaven being a place nothing like the size of hell. Because few there be that find it. In other words, there be few that's going to go to heaven because they're the only ones that's allowed Christ to do what He does. And the rest of them have rejected Him and turned Him down, fought against Him, so to speak. And they've gone out into eternity. And He said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Folks, this morning, you don't want to reject Christ. He's the one that's got power over soul and body, can cast you into a devil's hell. And this morning, we don't want to be in that place this morning. Whose hearts God has touched? Has He touched you here? These meetings are had for the good of souls and for the glory of God. We're doing this for a reason. We're not just doing it for a playtime. At least I'm not. I don't know about the rest of you. But I know the ministers here, we're here for a reason. God has called us and we're doing what we're doing to help souls by the workings of the Spirit of God. Don't turn Him down. Don't push Him away. I beg you. I beg you, I beg you. I know a case, got through Oklahoma many, many years ago. We were in a meeting. I don't remember, well, it was a camp meeting, had to be. My brother was toward the back of the chapel, the old chapel. This is the old chapel. I mean, it had been that many years ago. And there was a young man there was trembling under conviction. And Craig watched him. And he went to go out, and Craig followed him. And he begged him to come back in. He begged him to get saved, and he wouldn't do it. He did have some conversation, Brother Leslie. He was under conviction for another 2 weeks. And he went swimming one day, and he drowned and went out into eternity. Far as we know, he had no hope. That's not a pretty picture. I know another case in South Carolina. This is one of the saddest situations I've ever worked with in my ministry. They had a tent meeting. The old general was there, and Brother Lewis Kimball. And he's holding this tent meeting, and there was a couple there that was living together, and they were under conviction, and they were trembling, and they were crying, and they headed to the car. And a sister that was very, very close to the wife, she went right behind them. And she got in, and she began to beg them. Have you ever begged somebody, pleaded with them to get saved? Have you ever worked with them and they sat there and they just pushed you back and pushed you back? It's no fun, folks. And God is more serious than it is any of us ministers here. And Aunt Bebby got in the car and she talked to them and she pled with them. Come on, let's go to the altar. They knew they were living together. They knew they weren't married and that was a big hindrance. He said, don't worry about that. Let's get saved and take care of the rest of it later. They wouldn't do it. That was about 3 years before I showed up to be pastor. In February, I come there in August. It started in August, early August, about the sixth day, I believe, I arrived, of August of 1998. And on the end of January, there's a request put in that the man was in the hospital with a big tumor in his head. And so I got to inquire. I got myself up there, began to work with him, done everything I could do, and he kept rejecting. The touches were there, but he wasn't receiving them. His daddy was a preacher. His daddy was one of the most renowned preachers, I guess, that's ever been there. That people loved him. In 6 years, I heard one negative thing about him down there. Everybody loved him. He was an uncle to my wife. I worked with Jimmy. I made many 55-mile trips one way to that hospital, the big MUSC in Charleston, South Carolina, trying to help him, trying to get him where he needed to be. I wasn't pushing divine healing, folks. I was pushing salvation. We'll worry about the rest of it later. Jimmy, let's give ourselves to the Lord. And he wouldn't do it. Well, that was he had an operation. They took an aneurysm, a big old tumor out of his head. They said big as his fist. I heard the surgeon say it. I was there when it happened. And we were shocked. He went on, he had surgery two. He went on, had surgery three. He went on, had surgery four. He keeps rejecting God. He keeps turning him down and pushing against the touches. His marriage began to fall apart. His business began to fall apart. And he got down. He just gingerly, so to speak, got worse and worse and worse until he lost everything and ended up in a nursing home. The only good part to this whole story is I was told that they felt like he got saved before he died. And he got down to the end, and this is what was so shocking to the family of me too. He got down to the end, he started having physical problems. They took him to doctors. They done everything they could do. Oh, we don't know what's wrong with him. We know what's wrong with him. 2 weeks before he died, they said he's got cancer. 2 weeks later, he was dead. Devastated the family. Listen, folks, Jesus knows about you, top to bottom, so to speak. Hearts that God had touched. Are you allowing the God of heaven to touch you? Listen, folks, this is the one that's the sweetest, kindest, lovingest. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they want to help you. They're not trying to shove you in a corner. They're not trying to make an old fogey out of you. They want you to live for God. They want you to be blessed. They want you to have joy and peace. Oh, this morning, Lord, help us. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. For the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now he said, we have confidence in the Lord touching you. I have confidence today that the Lord is working with people right here. I have confidence that there's people right here that's going to follow those touches, that's going to respond to those touches and do what the Lord would have them to do. If we do that, we're going to be a blessing to everybody in the congregation. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, everyone here, the pastor. Pastors love to see their congregation grow and be established and so forth. The Lord's touches. This morning, are you allowing him to touch you? Let's go to Mark 1 and 40. Mark 1 and 40. He said, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, saith unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Christ could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now then, you know what leprosy in a sense is kind of akin to in the New Testament? Sin. Leprosy was a highly feared disease, or whatever you want to call it back there. It has destroyed many a people and killed them. It eats your fingers off, damaged your body in different ways, and ended up, that's why they had leper colony. It was contagious. It was bad. I'm going to tell you today, there's nothing like sin. Sin is destroying people every second of this day. It is destroying and working. And the thing about leprosy back then, there's only one individual that could help that, and that was Christ. Today, with sin, there's only one individual that can help you, and that's Jesus Christ. So consequently, sin destroys. Like I saw Jimmy be destroyed. I've seen others. They've got great damage to them because they would not receive. They would not do the touches of God. They rejected it and turned against it. And they kept going down more and more and more. Don't do that. Don't do that. Allow the Lord, as he touches, as he woos you, as he talks to you. Listen, folks, there's nothing sweeter than the touches of God. I've enjoyed it for many, many years. And there's other ones here that have got age on them. Maybe more than, well, have more than me. They've done the same thing. They've been touched. They've enjoyed what the Lord has done for them, how he's touched them and blessed them. Oh, today, I beg you, don't keep rejecting. This man come. He wanted help. He wanted help. Today, come and get your help. Don't keep putting it off. Don't keep turning it down. Come and get that help. The Lord's wanting to help you today. He's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to do something that nobody else could do. He got his help. He got his blessings. Immediately the leprosy departed. Listen, folks, it just takes one touch of the power of God and the sin is gone. He told me one time many years ago, I was praying for some of my father's family, and I told the Lord, I said, I'm sure glad I'm not you. I said, I wouldn't want to judge them. They're good people. And they are. There's some of them, and they're probably saved, living for the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, son, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to have. You've got to have the blood of Jesus have cleansed and on the heart, your spiritual heart, you've got to have that if you're going to make heaven. He said, it's the blood, child, it's the blood. Oh, today, this man was touched by the power of God and instantly. Listen, it don't take 30 years to get saved. It takes a second. It's all gone. Brother Simons went down there and he begged and he cried and he couldn't get anywhere. And finally, if I remember what he said, Lord, have mercy upon me. If you can do anything for me, have mercy on me. And then it happened. He loves you to ask for the mercy. He loves you to reach out for him. He loves you to beg him, have mercy on me, Lord, and help me. I'm deep in sin. I'm walling in the quagmires. I need to be delivered by the power of God. He wants to do it, but don't push the touches away. People are pushing it and pushing it. This man, wasn't he begging for it? He was begging for that help. Oh, this morning, is there anybody here that needs any help? And anyway, not to be saved totally, but maybe you need some victory, you need some blessings in other way. This altar's open for everything that you have need of this morning. It's not something that we say, well, you just got down there to get saved or sanctified. No, it's for getting places of victory and power and authority by the very hand of Jesus Christ. But you can't get it by pushing away the touches of God. Don't push it away. I beg you with everything inside of me, don't push away the touches. Let's go to 6 and 44 of John. 6 and 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. No man. Oh, today, you've got to be called and drawn, touched. It's not something that you can just do on your own. You've got to be touched by the power. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Touch him, call him, and I'll raise him up the last day. Oh, today, is he calling? If he is, I beg you to respond to him. Respond, because folks, this world is in a mess. It is in the biggest mess I've ever seen it in my life. And you know why? Because of sin. Because of the devil. Brother Curtis Way, I call him Curtis Ray Jr., he got up in Guthrie. There was a message preached on the afternoon of the first Sunday of Guthrie, and he got up that night. One was on the light that we have, that we our light to people. That was the afternoon service. Then the night service was the light of God to us. And what he got down to is still sticking with me today. Of course, I've known it for years. But the bottom line is, he said, folks, he said, what has happened? He said, people have rejected the light of God. And they're in so much darkness today that basically they can't see anything. Can't see a thing. They're blind, so to speak. We have got thousands and millions of people out there that are in the depths of sin and just as blind as they can be. And it's not going to get any better until they begin to receive the touches of God, to begin to respond to those touches. And things will start changing when God can begin to have his way, can begin to bless them and lead them and guide them and help them. Oh, today, are you responding to those touches today? We need to respond to the touches of God. Need to respond. We've got to respond. We can't go to heaven any other way. Let's go to Daniel, the 8th chapter. And about the 15th verse, 8 and 15 of Daniel. Came to pass when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as an appearance of a man. Heard a man's voice between the banks of Ui, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. When he came, I was afraid, fell upon my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. But he touched me, and he set me upright. And he said, behold, I'll make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at that time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest have two horns of the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat which is a king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now he said here, and as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, on my face toward the ground, but he touched me, and he set me upright. Has the devil got you rocked to sleep, so to speak? Has he got you in a place where that you really don't know right from wrong anymore? You're just going along, doing your daily things and so forth. You're not responding to the touches of God. You may not be responding to a lot of things because you're so out of kilter with the whole thing. He said, he touched me, and he set me aright. He touched me. Oh, today, we don't want to be in a deep sleep. My brother Curtis said, the bottom line was, their vision has been blinded. They don't have light. They don't have vision. They don't have understanding. The percentage of people that go to church anymore, if I'm not mistaken, is under 50% now. Not very many. And so consequently, mama's working, daddy's working, and the children are being babysit or taken care of by this and that one. And if mom and daddy had any religious convictions in days past, they've gotten away from that. And the children, they're not taught anything. A lot of our children out there, I dare say, couldn't quote the Ten Commandments they wanted to. They don't know the things that you and I know. So consequently, the Lord has been rejected too much. And he's going to come in flaming fire one of these days. He's going to set this thing right, and it's not going to be pretty when he does it. It's going to be a time of horror, a time of weeping and wailing. Because the great Jesus Christ has come back to receive his own and to reject those that have rejected his touches. Oh, Brother Carl, no, that's what the Bible declares. I can prove it by Scripture. They rejected and rejected and rejected. I rejected it for a while way back there, but I'm sure glad I started accepting them, started receiving them, started moving to them. And it's been a wonderful journey. I was praying the other day and thanking and praying, and I thought, Lord, I thought I didn't have what I set out to have. I set out for riches. I set out for beautiful homes, businesses, all of this. That was my vision. But I said, Lord, I'm sure thankful I found you, because I've got far greater than all of that. I'm so much at peace and joy, and the fact is I'm so gracious and so thankful that I followed the touches of God. It took a little while. I dare say people in here, most everybody didn't jump to the altar the first time he touched you. Most of us waited a little while, but aren't you glad that you moved to the touches? Aren't you thankful that you responded? And you said, thank you, Lord. I'm enjoying where I'm staying in more ways than one. But one of them is the head of the household. He loves to go, thank you, Lord. I love that. I do that. I've been thinking about things. I think, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All through the day, I'm just thanking the Lord. Praising him. Oh, today. Has he set you upright? Has he touched you? Touching you, and he set me upright. I needed somebody to help me, and he helped me. He done what nobody else could do for me. Grandpa can't do it. I enjoyed what Brother Rod said. I knew Brother Willie, his wife. Appreciated them, loved them. And Grandpa can't do it. Dad can't do it. Mom can't do it. Brothers and sisters can't do it. Aunt and uncles can't do it. Well, I'd do it for people if I could. I've got nieces and nephews that I'd be glad to have them living for the Lord. And I'd give it to them if I could. I'd give them, as one preacher preached one time, he said if salvation was in a box, he said I'd get every box I could and I'd be handing them out all over the place to those that needed that. Listen today, there's thousands upon thousands that need these touches and they're not receiving them. They're turning them down. All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the first chapter. We'll start reading at the first verse. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Antioch, I'm not pronouncing some of these words right, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joshua, king of Judah, under the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations, unto the nations. And then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now he said there, then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. Now I want to move just a little away from the salvation line. And let's talk about the sanctification line in the work of God. There is people that the Lord wants to use, and I understand, I've been there and done that, that the Lord wants to use, but the bottom line, they're kind of scared. I can't speak before people. I can't do this, I can't do that. The Lord said, he put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. Listen, folks, anybody can do anything with the touches of God. He is able to help you and I to be able to deliver any message, any whatever he would have us to do. He is able to touch us and help us to do it. Somebody said, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'm here to tell you that the power of God can help you do anything. I didn't want to preach. That's the last thing I wanted to do. But I've done it nearly 50 years now, 49. And the bottom line is, I found out that the Lord would help me. He would touch me. He would work with me. He would do what nobody else could do. Listen today, young people, move to the touches of God. But Brother Carl, you don't understand. I this and I that. No, I understand some things. I understand. I was 17, 18, 19. 20, 21, but the bottom line is, I found after 50 years, nearly 50 years, the bottom line is, he will help you. He will help you. He will touch you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. You will be amazed at what God can do. There have been men that's got in the pulpit that maybe shook and was about trembling all over. And then they opened up the Bible. I know I've read instances where one brother was having a little bit of trouble. And old Brother Warner, some of them said, God bless Brother so-and-so. And bam, he took off like a house of fire. Preaching. It was God. It was the touches of the working of the Spirit of God. We need that in our midst and we've got it. But I want to tell you, you can have it too. You don't have to run and hide in a corner. Oh, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand some of it anyway. And I want to tell you, I understand the power of the touches of God. I understand what He can do and how He can do it. I've watched it, I've felt it, I've seen it. So if the Lord is working with you this morning, no matter what your age, somebody said, well, I'm too old to do that. No. You're never too old to respond to the touches of God and do what He wants you to do. He will help you to do it. He will help you. 2 Samuel 23 and 2. 2 Samuel 23 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. Spirit of the Lord spake. All right, let's go to Mark 13 and 11 to back up here what I'm telling you here. 13 and 11 of Mark. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was sent down here to work with us, to lead us, to guide us, to do all these things. And He's not going to leave you squandering out there in a body of water. He is going to work with you. And when it's time to speak, whether it be a testimony, I can't testify. Yeah, you can. I can't talk to people. Yeah, you can. You might have to pray some first, but you can do it. You can speak to people. You can help people. You can encourage people. Listen, people need your testimony. They need what you have. They need to see the workings of the power of God. Listen, folks. I listened to a deal the other night, part of it, not all of it. And I listened to it, and the singing wasn't no good. The praying wasn't no good. The preaching wasn't no good, and they claimed to be Church of God. And I told a couple people, I said, it didn't interest me. That's not the right word. But anyway, I was not enjoying it. That's not still not what I want. But anyway, the bottom line is, we have something, and what we have is working with everybody from a child up, basically. So Lord, help us this morning. If He is calling you, if He's working with you, leading you to talk to somebody, leading you to testify, leading you to exhort, whatever it might be, don't just keep pushing on the deal. I can't do it, Lord, because You can. You can do it. All right, let's go to Luke 22. Let's move to another area right quick. Luke 22 and 47. Luke 22 and 47. And while He yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss Him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they were about Him, saw what would follow, they said unto Him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far? And he touched his ear, and he healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords, staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now he cut off his right ear, and Jesus just touched him and he healed him. Now, Lord, help us here. But the bottom line is, Jesus has power to do anything. It said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And there's times that I'm praying for people and I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, that can't stand against your power. Nothing can stand against the power of Jesus Christ. Whether it be a mob, whether it be whatever, sickness or disease, whatever, the bottom line is nothing can stand against that power. That power can do anything that it needs to do. All it has to have is the workings and the touches of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and that person will be touched. He can be healed. He can be delivered. Whatever it might be, that power is there to do. He just touched him and healed him. Well, no big deal. Listen today, do you need some healing? Do you need some encouragement? Do you need some strength? Let the Lord touch you. If you need to be prayed for, come up here and let the ministers work with you and lay hands on you. Whatever you need, the Lord wants to touch and heal you. Emotional matters. There have been people out there, especially today, seem like they've got a lot of emotional problems. The Lord can heal emotional problems. He can heal mental problems. He can heal anything. There's not anything in the catalog of anything that Jesus Christ can't touch and heal. Can't touch and bless. Can't touch and work with. He made you. That scripture I read a while ago, I knew you before you was even anything. One preacher told me one time years ago, and I had never even thought about it. He said, Brother Carl, the Lord has had his hands on you since about before you was even born. I thought, I said, what are you talking about? He said, the bottom line was, the Lord had his hand on you and he guided your life all the way to your mother that was a Church of God person. And that got me to the Church of God. Thank the Lord. That working, and I didn't resist it. I moved that away in the summer or the spring of 1971. Went to the first Guthrie camp meeting of my life. And I was in awe. Started being with the young people. I was in awe. Young people, I want to beg you, show your peace and your joy. Let the people know that the Lord can do things for you. And I watched them and I listened to them and I talked to them and I'd done things with them. And they had what this old fella didn't have. I didn't have that peace. I didn't have that joy. And it went through the summer and it went up into the fall. Show them. Show them what you got, children. Show them that you're saved and sanctified. Challenge them. If they want to tempt you to go do something, some of them that's not saved, say, nope, not interested. Ain't going to do that. Live that life. It'll touch people. It'll be touched by not only the power of God, but by you too. Your life can touch people, folks. Your life can help people, encourage people. Listen, saints, your testimonies on Wednesday night can be such a blessing. I've had testimonies that was testified in Guthrie when I was there in 1987 to 1991. And the bottom line is I still carry some of them with me today. It's what God done. It was His touches. It was the workings of the Spirit of God that done things. And I listened to them and I was amazed. But I've had Him do things for me too now. He's done things for me for years. He wants to do things and He wants you to tell of what He does for you. Expound it. Say, this is what the Lord done. I'll give you an instance of one. One sister. I guess I won't name names. Anyway, her husband was a businessman. And he needed her to do some, to go on and pick it up and delivering things, picking up some things through the day, and her watch had quit working. So she thought, how am I going to be on time on all this with no watch? So she prayed. Said, Lord, I need you to heal my watch, or touch it, however. And she said, it started working. She said, brethren, it worked all day long. It worked for every stop that I made. And after the last stop, it quit. But still, God touched that watch. Another time, somebody needed the washing machine. We was coming up to one of our meetings, and they needed the washing machine to work, I believe it was. And they tried to work, and they couldn't. And they prayed for it, and it started working. It worked the whole meeting and then quit. Somebody said, well, why didn't you pray for the Lord to heal it permanently? Oh, I don't know. I didn't think about that, I guess. But anyway, the Lord's got testimonies that can be a blessing, that can people can tarry for years down the road. And it's not you, it's the touches of God. It's His sweetness. His just touching and His just blessing and doing things that can help. Oh, today, Lord, help us to tell of His touches. To tell what He's done. Tell, oh, tell what He's done. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 1 and 14. I'm about through here. Jeremiah 1 and 14. Said, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his stone at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, thou therefore, gird up thy loins, and rise and speak unto them all that command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound them before them. Now, he said here he's going to touch all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. I'll utter my judgments against them. Touching. Now, not touching just one thing, but touching all. There are some things that have been, you could call secret sins down through the year. I preached a funeral of a man one time years ago, and I understood that they felt like he killed his first wife. He done it in such a way that they never caught him. And then many years later, I got to preach his funeral. It was covered, see? And it was covered well. But Jesus knew about it. When he went out into eternity, he met that. He'd deal with that. Some people say, well, I can do things covered up. Well, you might for a while, and you might get away with it for a while, but Jesus knows about it from the second you thought about it. So the bottom line is He's going to touch. He knows everything we do, every thought we think, every word we speak, every place we go. He knows all about it. And if we're doing something that God is not pleased with, He knows all about it. And He can deal with that. He touched all their wickedness. Not one part or two part, but all, every bit of it. He knew everything about it. Who have forsaken me, who have rejected my touches, who have pushed me back, so to speak. Like I said, I may be wrong, but if you went to touch somebody and they rejected that, you did not appreciate that. It hurts. It hurts. If a wife pushes off a husband or a husband wife, children, he knows everything about us. Folks, have our touches be the touches of God. Have our touches be those that the Lord is pleased with and thankful for. All right, let's end in 1 John 5 and 18 and we'll be done. 1 John 5 and 18. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. This is where we need to be. God. Well, you don't understand, Brother Carl. I can't live this way. Yeah, you can. Jesus is going to help you. The devil is going to do a lot of things, but he has no power against Jesus Christ. Christ can handle anything. So today, you to touch us. Has He touched you in this meeting? Has He been touching you? Has He been working with you? Has He been wooing you? And the big question is, how have you responded? What have you done? Has it been going on a long time or short time? There had been people the Lord dealt with for years and they never got saved. There had been some the Lord dealt with and they got saved pretty quick. Today, what are you doing with the touches of God? Pray for me. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.